books because he couldn't make it. Instead, it is given by Oswald van Klepert, entitled Nitrogen Conservation in the Pristine South Chilean Notovagus Forest, an N15 Tracing Approach.
Indeed, Mr. Chairman, Pascal Books decided to come here months ago, but also 9 months ago he decided to have his first baby and the two events coincide, so he asked me replace him. And the title is, mentioned, Nitrogen Conservation in Pristine Forest, a study by using the N15, but it could be changed also in looking to possible alternative nitrogen cycles. And that was also linked to your introduction. You see a number of co-authors. Some of them are from Germany for the modeling, and others from Belgium and Chile for the lab experiment, the isotope measurements and the field experiments. But I do have to give credit to Dries Huygens, who made the presentation. Okay. Looking to possible other nitrogen cycles. When you look to these two maps, the one from 1990 shows the precipitation of inorganic nitrogen in 1990 and an extrapolation because of anthropogenic activities in 2050. We see that in the southern hemisphere the precipitation is low, while because of industrial and other activities it will increase importantly. Most of our knowledge has been developed in the northern hemisphere, where we have already quite a bit of precipitation, so quite a bit of pollution. The point is now, what can we, or do we know from the north, and can it be extrapolated to the south? Here we have still low or unpolluted conditions, but it will shift to polluted conditions. That means, can we use information from here, and is it the same as in the northern hemisphere? So finally, the purpose was to get information on nitrogen cycling at base line conditions, say at low precipitation or natural precipitation. Therefore, we used. Oh, okay. We are all familiar how the nitrogen cycle looks, and has it or as the knowledge has been developed under our conditions in, say, North America, Europe, the soil organic matter mineralization, then the ammonium nitrate, nitrite, nitrate immobilization, and so on. Okay, the normal process and leaching and gases loss. The point, and I repeat, can we go ahead with that same picture in, say, unpolluted conditions? And therefore, we went to Chile, where we had our experiment in the Andean Mountain, in an area a bit south of Santiago, in the Andean Mountains, where you have the lakes and the volcanoes, a bit south of Osorno in Antillanca. And precipitation of nitrogen is in the order of a bit more than 10 milligram per hectare, really very low. It's considered as natural pollution or natural precipitation. It's mainly in the organic form, about 8 in the organic form, and about 3 in the inorganic form. That's the area, how it looks like. It's mainly grown by Notophagus betuloides. That forest is an evergreen forest with unlimited conditions. It's in a andesol with the presence of iron and aluminum hydroxides. Precipitation is up to 7,000 millimeter per year, so very high precipitation. So one would expect, if precipitation of nitrogen is very low, the high rainfall, so one would expect that almost no nitrogen is in that ecosystem. So what happens if there's no nitrogen, but there is still quite a bit of biomass formation, the trees grow. There has been already some data published already at the beginning of the 2000s showing that there is in that kind of ecosystem, so in a pristine ecosystem with low nitrogen precipitation, a quite tight nitrogen cycle, whereby leaching is mainly as DON, salt organic nitrogen, and not the inorganic nitrogen. But that brings up the idea of do we have here the classical nitrogen cycle, or is there something beyond it? A laboratory experiment was set up, and also a field experiment, in order to see the nitrogen transformation processes, the different possibilities. And some modeling was developed, starting with a very simple model, the one as you see here, from soil organic matter to ammonium and then to nitrate, and then gradually increased the complexity of the model, whereby we used the Markov Monte Carlo calculations, identifying a number of pools, nitrogen pools, and a number of nitrogen transformation processes, and doing the calculations first on a simple system, and then gradually building up the complexity by also adding the nitrite and the possible nitrogen or formation of gaseous nitrogen. The laboratory experiment was carried out with soil collected from the Andean mountains. It was incubated for a number of days, up to 12 days, at 50% water filled pore space at 15 degrees Celsius. At bulk density, it was a mineral soil fraction, soil of the first 10 centimeters of that forest. So incubated, and then after a number of days extracted, and five pools were identified: the label soil organic matter, resistant soil organic matter, ammonium nitrate and nitrite. And those pools were also measured for labeled nitrogen. The labeling was at 98%. And the data here were put in this model. I mentioned already the Markov Monte Carlo calculations. And finally, that gave us the transformation rates. You see again the classical mineralization immobilization transformation theory. What did we find with the addition of the label? That is that the oxidation of ammonium to nitrate did not occur. You know, in that kind of system, nitrate is the very mobile system, and if that is formed, so we are not surprised, because if nitrate is formed with a precipitation up to 7,000 millimeters, all the nitrate disappears, and all the nitrogen would disappear from the system. Another point that we found is that there is quite a bit of formation from soil organic matter into nitrate via heterotrophic nitrification. And another step is the disseminatory nitrate reduction to ammonium. It in fact competes with the other processes that look for nitrate. So the nitrate is not really building up. Of course, there is also uptake towards the plants. But this apparently looks to be important. That is, again, reduction to ammonium. So, two important points from this kind of study: the heterotrophic nitrification and the disseminatory nitrate reduction to ammonium. Of course, these two processes fit within our idea that the nitrate is produced via an alternative pathway, probably in those forest fungi are responsible for this process. And then DNRA reduces the substrate availability for land losses, loss processes, the denitrification and the leaching. As I said, increasing the complexity of the model by adding also nitrite to the system, by using labeled nitrite, we found that indeed no gaseous nitrogen was formed. The DNRA has been proven in the preceding experiment. We found also that ammonium is oxidized to nitrite, but nitrite is not oxidized to nitrate. So again, it's kind of protection for the system to keep the nitrogen in the system. And there is, again, reduction of nitrite to the soil organic matter. There is also some gases, nitrogen formed from nitrite itself. So from that laboratory experiment, the ammonium stops at nitrite. Nitrite is rather reduced than further oxidized. Of course, nitrite is a quite important intermediate. We don't know exactly what happens. Is it nitrified denitrification? But from yesterday we heard that it's extreme, and also this morning. That's extremely difficult to study. Nitrization, anammox, those things have to be cleared out. Here you see a number of rates that we found, and indeed, like the heterotrophic nitrification, DNRA are of the same order. So that makes that if there is any nitrate formed, the nitrate goes back to ammonium by DNRA. A few slides. It was also proven by the whole system, proven by a field experiment whereby nitrogen 15, also labeled at 98%, was mixed with the 14 nitrogen, and the soil was analyzed, and also the water in the different pools of nitrogen in order to look for the fate of that labeled nitrogen and the field conditions. Plots were identified. You see the white spots that because of the sunlight, you see them again. Plots in the forest were labeled. Also water was collected, and soil was sampled and almost immediately analyzed. And for the experiment with the labeled ammonia, we see that within this scale is not linear. You see it was an experiment whereby we analyzed in fact six times soil samples and water samples, and very quickly the ammonium is transformed into soil organic matter. There is some in the roots and the plants, and there is some microbial biomass nitrogen. The recovery is in the order of 80%. The recovery with nitrate is a bit lower, in the order of 70%. There is a little bit of gas formation that we found in the laboratory study, but here again we have this quick transformation reduction to soil organic matter. So the nitrogen in fact stays in the system. With the water analysis we can say that indeed there is just the first day after the application we found some of the labeled nitrate, but there's in fact no loss of N15 towards the groundwater. And that brings me to the conclusions. There are biotic and abiotic mechanisms, DNRA, but the nitrite we don't know. There might be a number of abiotic mechanisms. They interact to retain the inorganic end species in the soil plant ecosystem. The documented DON loss, the organic nitrogen, that loss does not seem to be the result of the inorganic nitrogen turnover. There is an importance of the alternative and retention pathways such as heterotrophic nitrification. And there's a strong retention, and that ensures the ecosystem sustainability in the long term. As I said in the introduction, almost no nitrogen is getting lost. So it sticks into the system, and that is what we found is that the nitrogen cycle occurring in that kind of ecosystem is a bit different from the classical nitrogen cycle that we have been studying for decades in the Northern Hemisphere. Thank you.
Time for a question, maybe?
Yep. Can ion absorption or exchange, specifically with nitrate, come into the story?
Adsorption was also one of the pools that have been included in the modeling, and there is quite a bit in that, in those andesols. There's quite a bit of adsorption at a certain rate, quite high rate. You saw some rates in the order of a few microgram. Those rates that we found for adsorption, but it was not a nitrate, but ammonium was in the order of 20. But the desorption is of the same size. That means that the adsorption is a kind of buffer, but it releases at the same time the nitrogen, but not for the nitrate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.